Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Thank you very much for tuning in today. And my very special guest is Liz Wall. She's a former anchor at Russia Today who famously quit live on air due to her concerns over ethical issues at the network. Liz, welcome to the show.
Hi, Austin.
Good to see you again, Liz.
Nice to see you. Yep.
So today we're going to be talking a little bit about ISIS and propaganda. And Liz, you approached me about this topic specifically because you're so familiar with how propaganda is formed. Would you say it's safe to say that Russia Today is a propaganda network?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And increasingly more so, especially at the time when I quit. It was kind of reached a boiling point for me. And I think it's, as we speak, it's turning more so into a propaganda organization. So yes, I think it's absolutely safe to say so.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, a lot of libertarians and people will ask me, they're like, Austin, why do you go on that network? And I go, well, there's lots of reasons. I go, probably the main two reasons that I do that is one, because I'm not getting paid by the Kremlin to appear on those on the network, and because it gives me an opportunity to sort of debunk the bull, the BS, and which is what I frequently do is go on there and debate Tom Hartman. I don't think that there's anything gained by not going to a microphone when your enemy gives you opposition gives you a microphone and says, come speak to our audience. You'd go speak to your audience. You may not take a paycheck from them like some people in the room, but
not anymore.
But you certainly don't. I don't think that compromises your ethics or values in doing
Right. Now, I got to say, I thought it was really funny. I remember when I was working there and you'd come in and you'd be wearing your money pin. Oh my gosh, that made people so upset. They were like, that guy in his freaking money pin.
Oh yeah, Tom Hartman.
Representing Cal. Capitalism.
He likes freedom. Screw him.
Screw him.
Screw that guy who likes freedom.
It was hilarious. That money pin got people riled up,
yeah.
And I loved it.
It's a really good debate tactic. If you can do things like that, it throws your enemy off. You know what I mean? Because they're so distracted by something ridiculous that they have a hard time formulating a good argument. And Hartman mentioned it on air when I debated him last week about him saying that libertarian economics caused the rise of ISIS, and he's like, you come in here with your money pin and you represent the billionaires, Well, anyways, Tom, he's obviously ridiculous, but it's a great way to kind of tick off socialists. So I'd like to talk about totalitarianism. I'd like to talk about about propaganda, because you understand how it's created, Liz. Mm-hmm. And I would like to ask you specifically about the rise of ISIS, because you said to me that you thought that there were some similarities in how Russia Today creates its propaganda to how ISIS is creating its propaganda. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, absolutely. It was interesting as I was following the ISIS propaganda, and I was just fascinated to see how they're able to recruit Westerners from Canada, from the US, from the UK. Of course, the gruesome videos that we've seen of the beheadings, the man with the knife, he has an English accent. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of disturbing and fascinating that they've been successful in recruiting so many Westerners. And you got to wonder, what is getting Westerners over to fight for the ISIS cause? And so, I was listening to watching these ISIS propaganda videos, because they're incredibly powerful in recruiting Westerners. I did see some similarities, and not to the brutality. I'm not saying that they're the same thing. Obviously, the brutality is unprecedented in their propaganda. But where I see the similarities is in the rhetoric. One video in particular is of the British journalist John Cantley, currently being held in hostage. And he's put out a few propaganda videos at this point. And the phrases and the language that he used is clearly it's aimed at a Western audience, and it's aimed at people that tend to be weary of war, you know, that are sick of war and are critical of U.S. foreign policy, and kind of really inciting this kind of attitude that they know, ISIS knows, is alive and well in the U.S., and kind of telling them, you know, don't believe your leaders, don't believe your media, because they're misleading you. If we get into this conflict, it's going to be exactly like Iraq. It's going to be exactly like Afghanistan. And so this is very much playing into the fears that exist in the U.S. right now. And then it starts to become a slippery slope. They kind of pull these people in that kind of tend to be critical of U.S. foreign policy. Before you know it, this person is an ISIS sympathizer. And then, you know, one thing leads to another, and they become part of this cause. And I think a common thread that you see with people that do tend to fight for ISIS is that they believe that they are standing up to some kind of perceived injustice, that they're writing something that's wrong, and that they're actually part of some coalition that's doing something good, which is unbelievable, because obviously we're talking about a very, very evil, just disgusting, brutal, this isn't Muslim, regime, this is a radical Muslim ideology that is just disgusting.
Now, here's what I see as a major problem. You know, there's a lot of good reasons to be critical of American foreign
Absolutely.
Policy. There's a lot of good ways to be critical of it. And I'm not even saying, you know, you have to necessarily be, oh, hey, pro-America in order to, you know, criticize foreign policy from a standpoint that I find credible. Mm-hmm. However, what I see happening here in the United States, and certainly it's happening in other countries like Austria and other places where they see people actually leaving their countries. You know, Britain, for example, the guy who beheaded mm-hmm. the first American journalist was, you know, a British national, a guy who holds a British passport. And I think that what's happening here is that they're taking these legitimate concerns that people have, and then they're taking them off in the wrong direction. And
Right. The
problem is, Liz, is that is happening in so many ways. You know, and again, it's subjective, because you and I have a sort of a more pro-America standpoint and things like that, even if I'm, you know, maybe more harshly critical of the government than you are. But I would say that I still think that in terms, relative terms, to the rest of the governments of the world, the American government is probably the least of all evils. I mean, compared to ISIS, for example. Which is a good one,
certainly make that comparison.
Good, much better than ISIS. And so the problem is that we have all of these propagandists. We have ISIS sort of playing on them, right? And that's probably the most extreme example. But where my listeners probably would disagree with me, and probably would disagree with you, is that we also have all of these these propagandists here at home. Not just Russia Today, but we have people like Alex Jones.
Yeah.
And what I see them doing is they're taking these conspiracy theories, and they're taking people with legitimate concerns, and they're spinning them off with these false narratives about, you know, 9/11 being an inside job or things like that. And while my listeners, again, and I know a lot of them do disagree with me on this because they voice it, but I'm not going to back down, is that these guys are wasting the energy of real righteous indignation and channeling it into the rabbit hole, you know what I mean, from which there is no bottom. And I sort of blame truthers and Alex Jones for us not having justice on 9/11, because it was so easy for the administration to paint legitimate criticism of the 9/11 Commission report as the work of 9/11 truthers. So do you agree with what I'm saying here? Can you expand on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's interesting that you bring up conspiracy theories and intruders, because I really think that these are the types of people that tend to be vulnerable to this kind of very extreme ideology, the types of people that tend to want to rise up and fight the system.
Libertarians.
But, you know, I'm definitely not hostile to libertarians. I'm hostile to extremism.
Right.
And I think that we have to be able to draw the distinction between the two, you know. I absolutely believe that the media's role should be to you know, hold people in positions of power accountable, to uncover wrongdoing. That's absolutely critical to happen. But what there's a fine line that is drawn between, you know, being a watchdog and then falling kind of into the propaganda traps of our enemies. And that's who they prey on, people within the U.S. that tend to be critical of their own government. So I think that we need to be really, really careful of that and make sure that we find that balance. Speaking of conspiracy theories, it's interesting. I think in ISIS, Russian propagandists uses conspiracy theories a lot in their media. I saw it firsthand when I was at Russia Today. And it really plays this kind of this role in just stirring confusion. Because if you put this something out there, A, you get some people that believe it. And then if you get enough people believing in this totally crazy, bogus cause, it riles those people up. But it also just creates so much confusion where if you have a theory and you get the dialogue going about something that is so out there, that the truth just gets skewed so much and it just gets lost. And I think that's kind of the aim of these conspiracy theories, is that it's just kind of, it brings the conversation so far away from reality that it just gets lost. And we see a conspiracy theory that's being spread, you know, over where in Syria and Iraq, is that the U.S. actually created the Islamic State to provide an excuse for another ground invasion of Iraq. And this is a conspiracy theory that is very widely believed there. And it's something that it just, you know, I hear that and I think back to the kind of propaganda, the kind of viewers that believe in this propaganda, people that responded, you know, sympathized with RT. And they, too, it's the same kind of, you know what, the U.S. is responsible for the evils, you know what? The U.S. is the bad guy, and that's kind of the mentality that they adapt, and it gets troubling as we see in such an extreme circumstance like recruiting people, Americans, Westerners, to fight for a terrorist organization.
It's amazing when you look at some of the propaganda that they're creating. They're sort of trying to create this like sweet and happy face in ISIS in so many ways. And they've put out a couple of videos, things like where they target Obama, and it's like sort of like, you know, a badass video with, you know, cool special effects and stuff like that. And, you know, and the conspiracy theorists are like, this is so staged so we can get into war in Syria and blah, 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 blah.
That is like the number one thing that comes up all the time when something happens.
It's a false flag.
False flag.
False flag. Everything's a false flag. You know, and, you know, it's false flags happen. They've happened in history.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's the kind of thing that, you know, you can't say, oh, it's never happened. You know, Hitler burning down his own Reichstag was a good example of a false flag. I think that the beginning of the war with Mexico, where like we had one of our ships was blown up, you know, was like one of those things. It was, you know, a fake, you know, and like Theodore Roosevelt did not report it because he was like he wanted to go to war. That stuff happens.
The problem is where you apply that to everything you know,
right,
when
right.
I saw that people thinking every school shooting is a false flag. I saw that some people think that these beheadings, you know, these people that lurk on the internet, the truthers that lurk on the internet, they say, oh, these beheadings are actually false flags. That's to incite anger
so that
in
we can
the
get
US.
Into another war.
And it's just like, come on.
I just wish that President Obama would just stop proving the conspiracy theorists right. I mean, like,
what?
I just wish he would stop, like, you know, feeding into them, because it's what's amazing is that, like, you know, the reality is if you say that disaster is going to happen over and over and over again, sooner or later it does. You know what I mean? It's like if you're Alex Jones or if you're Ron Paul and you're like, there's going to be a monetary crisis, there's going to be a disaster, eventually it happens. So the conspiracy theorists will point to that and say, hey, we were right. Yeah, well, you know, the 99...
Like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right, but it's the 99 other times that you ignore that you failed, you know, to predict it, and, you know, then that's how statistics work, but they don't take that into account.
No, it's very interesting, and these kinds of people, they feed into each other's worldview.
They
do.
Like,
and yeah,
it becomes very insular.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, and they all read the same articles, and they all kind of go down that rabbit hole together.
Yeah.
And find some like camaraderie in right. doing so, and kind of like a brotherhood in a way where they kind of feel like they
together.
Belong. Like we're above everything else and everybody else because we know something that everybody else doesn't, when in reality they're kind of like, like very far off from reality.
Right. And like, you know, I don't want to disparage, you know, people who are seriously confused, because, you know, it's so easy to fall into these traps because, you know, people like ISIS and, you know, Alex Jones, they make it so simple for you to do it. You know what I mean? They're playing on your legitimate fears, the legitimate fears about the growth of government. Mm-hmm. But I think the problem is that, you know, to believe in these evil conspiracies is to sort of give government too much credit that they are capable of pulling off what they want to do. And when I relate this to ISIS, you know, when you're looking at their propaganda and they're like, you know, come join the jihad, you know, and they're showing all these like beautiful pictures of like how the caliphate will be, they're not, what they're not showing you or is the nasty evil side of it, the enforcers, the religious enforcers who are going around. Vice Magazine actually did a really good expose on ISIS where they showed the religious enforcers going around, and they're stopping people on the street saying, hey, your wife is
I saw this.
Your wife is like lifting up her skirts when she walks, okay? Her skirt is tucked, her dress is touching the ground.
She's wearing like head to toe black.
She's wearing head to toe black, but because she's lifting it up so that she won't step on it, they're like, oh, I can see her toes. I might be able to see some ankles. Like, you know, well, that's slutty behavior in the caliphate world. You know, and that's why, you know, it's worth opposing them in some way or another. And, you know, maybe not through military means necessarily immediately. Maybe if there was a declaration of war by Congress, which, you know, how do you declare war on something that's not a state? That's a problem. Mm-hmm. Also, how do you know? Here's a great example of a debate that we need to have on this topic. Right now, Stephen Colbert and Bill O'Reilly are having a big war. This is just breaking today, because Bill O'Reilly suggested mercenaries. And when you say mercenaries, you're thinking Eric Prince, Blackwater. Most people are kind
of
like, ugh.
You know,
they're
that,
like,
yeah.
But libertarians, hardcore free market capitalists, are kind of like, hey, you know, like, you know, it reduces risk for collateral damage and all that kind of thing. So let me ask you, before we have a discussion about that, you know, what kind of ways would you like to see the United States oppose ISIS? How would you like to see ISIS being opposed? What do you think is the best way, Liz, for us to oppose them? Create our own propaganda, you know, for Congress to actually step up and have a vote on giving president authorization to strike them? Should there be a military response? What is your deep-seated belief of the best way to oppose these radical extremists?
Right. Well, create our own propaganda. I'm not sure that that's the answer. I think that I think we really just have to spread the truth about what this organization is. We don't need to twist any of the facts. The facts are there. I mean, we're talking about a brutal, absolutely appalling, unspeakably terrible, evil group. I can't think of any more words. this organization, and they do it cowardly under the name of Islam and under the name of religion. And they're able to use that as a front. So do I think we need to do something to stop the spread of this group? Absolutely. Do I know exactly what that answer is? I don't know about that. I think that it's good that we're trying to get other countries on board so that this is a multinational fight and it's not just the U.S. fighting it on its own. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like many Americans, I'm not eager to jump into another war. Mm-hmm. Certainly a lot of people are in my boat there. Americans are sick of going to war, but, it's a tough one, but I think we need to be really careful I think it's something that we definitely need to take seriously. Mm-hmm. What the appropriate course of action is, I mean, I don't know, Austin. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that we need to take action.
We have to stand up to them. There's just
no, I mean, we can't do nothing. I don't think that's doing nothing is doing something, that's a decision in itself, and I don't think that's one that we can make in the face of of what's been going on. I mean, and when they put those videos out, I mean, what do they expect? They're provoking, and we're seeing more support now.
We're seeing when you're beheading journalists, and you're putting on video.
Civilians.
Yeah, civilians. Then, you know.
Innocent civilians.
Right. Well, and, you know, some radical libertarians might say, well, you know, we blow up innocent civilians with our drone strikes and things like that. Well, you know, that's called collateral damage. You know, we're not taking civilians, putting them on camera, mm-hmm. and blowing their heads off on camera and saying, come at me, bro.
And touting and flaunting, bragging about the right. deaths of innocent right. civilians.
Most of the problems...
There's a difference. Right. There's a difference. And I think that's an argument that you see that is made and that justifies... that ISIS uses in their propaganda. They're like, well, look, America's really the evil one because right. look at the drones that they're using. And right. look at their, yes, of course,
well,
like,
and
we
our
are
government
not
is giving them that example.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And it's not to say that we should be doing more to prevent, but we should be. I mean, civilian deaths should be avoided at all possible costs, mm-hmm. but it's not the same. And I think that if you put the two things together and say that they're equal, the two evils don't equal. It's just not the same.
Well, the problem is with radicalism is that the radicals usually live in black worlds of all black and white. It's either this way or that way. You're either with us, you're against us. You either believe in the conspiracy theory or you're part of the conspiracy. Mm-hmm. And, I get accused of being a Monsanto shill all the time.
I am absolutely. That was one of the big things against me, that I was, and certainly the RT sympathizers played into that.
Like, right.
Oh, she's part of the New World Order. She's a CIA operative. She was paid off by the mainstream media, like part of the New World Order. I'm just like,
show us the paychecks.
Are you serious? I mean,
A lot of my listeners and followers think that
she's lizard person.
Lizard person. I'm definitely a lizard person. If there's anything, but I'm a builder.
Right? I wish, lizard people. Man. Show me how to enter those. People.
You know the. Yeah, again, I reiterate, the problem with conspiracy theories is always that it gives the government too much credit for being able to actually pull things off. So I guess, you know, for me, my main problems with the way that we handle ISIS is the fact that we never seem to follow any sort of constitutional obligations. We never seem to find the legitimate constitutional authority to engage in these types of actions against ISIS bombing campaigns. The president does this unilaterally, you know, and I guess, you know, what he's doing is he's falling back on the authorization of military force that was declared for Iraq. I mean, is this kind of stuff indefinite? You know, it seems to me as if it is. And so it just sort of slides on and the executive is able to amass power. And that is why conspiracy theories are so proliferated, is because as power is more and more centralized, the conspiracy theorists in essence become right in so many ways. There is a conspiracy to grab power, but it's not some shadowy, evil, hidden government plot. It's all out in the open. Mm-hmm. And it's the small power grabs that continue to happen. Like when Congress just doesn't, you know, follow its obligation to demand accountability when the president, you know, commits an impeachable action, for example. And that to me is really what the problem is that, you know, it's the good people who are allowing evil to continue. And that's what we really have to oppose. Mm-hmm. And to me, that does involve, you know, creating counter propaganda. This is what we're doing right now.
Absolutely. I mean, it's getting the truth out, and it's holding officials accountable, and that's absolutely a conversation that we should be having. Mm-hmm. The problem is when it just, you know, you self-select pieces of information mm-hmm. to verify your worldview, and it becomes so skewed that it just gets far from the truth. It becomes something that's just ridiculous mm-hmm. in some situations. You got to check it. I don't know. I kind of lean towards libertarian politics. I wouldn't say I'm a hardcore libertarian, but I'm leaning. I'm an independent.
Okay, yeah.
I'm an independent. I don't like labels.
I know. Oh, God.
Labels.
So, yeah, libertarians are the first people to be like, you're not libertarian.
Yeah, right? I'm like, excuse me. Yeah. We can use all the people we can get. Thank you.
Thank you.
But, exactly, but you know, but moderate and libertarian. Yeah.
So, all right. So let's get off these heavier topics and let's talk about something a little more fun. What are you doing since Russia Today? What have you been up to?
Oh my gosh! After that Shit. Is this a family rated?
We can get away with a couple of swear
words. Is this family
rated? I don't have a sponsor for this podcast yet, so nobody can come up with it.
I was going to say, after that shitstorm, can we bleep that? Okay. Yeah, no, it's been good. It's been great. I definitely, absolutely, I couldn't have chosen a better, making a better decision. Looking back.
To put on air.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. I mean, after that happened, it was just, it was amazing how everything that I feared would have played out on the station did. I mean, I had resigned right when I felt that it was taking on this more of this propagandist nature. And then a couple weeks later, it was a matter of weeks that Russia annexed Crimea.
Crimea, yeah.
That happened. And the misinformation coming out of there in Russian media, it was just so terrible. And then the flight, MH17, happened. And then we saw the way that the Russian media was covering that, using conspiracy theories to create confusion. And that's something like, come on, that was a passenger jet. Hundreds of civilians died. And here we have Russian media trying to employ their tactics, saying, you know, it was actually the Ukrainian military that shot that plane down. Saying, I mean, the conspiracy theories, that's just the beginning.
Yeah.
That the Ukrainian, everything's blame Ukraine. So one of the most believable ones was that it was the Ukrainian military that shot the plane down. Another one was that, that they were actually aiming for a plane that Vladimir Putin was flying on. And another one of them, I think the one of the craziest ones that I've heard is that actually that was the first missing Malaysian Airlines plane. It was actually already carrying dead bodies when it had crashed.
Oh, really? God.
Yeah, and so these are the range of stories, theories that are given a platform at Russian stations. And it's really unfortunate. It's really, I mean, that's what good is that doing?
Well, glad you're back on the side of truth, justice, and American way. So you had a project you were talking about before this. I don't know if we can go too much in the details, but you are on something. We are going to see Liz Wall again and behind the camera or in front of the camera soon.
Yeah, I'm working on something. Actually, I'm working on shooting a pilot for a television show.
Okay.
I think it's in the works. I think February is what we're looking at. That's in the works.
So will this television show be aired, or is it just something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So it's
yeah, I can't really talk too much about that.
But we will be seeing you again
on
television.
Of course.
That's good.
Don't worry, don't you worry.
I'm sure you do have your fans.
You got a few
people following your career. I'm sure. if you're a fan of the Freedom Report, you've probably been a fan of Liz Wall for a long time as well, because it's actually Liz Wall, her interview, that drove this podcast skyrocketed up into its popularity.
Really? I have such a hard time. I mean, I'm amazed and really humbled and just happy that I could do that, but I'm like, really?
Tell you what happened, and like, just, I think the listeners, if they're listening at least this far into the show, then they're probably hardcore fans who've been listening to it for a while. But I started the podcast last November, and it was, my roommate actually was like, you know what, Austin, podcasts are really big these days. And I'm like, I have no idea, you know, podcasts, who listens to those? And he's like, a lot of people listen to them. And so I did a little research, and I'm like, wow, they are getting pretty big. And you know why? It's because now everybody has a Bluetooth device in their car. So everybody can just listen to the shows, their podcasts, favorite podcasts, from their phones and their cars.
Yeah,
and so it's a really big deal now. And so I was like, all right. So I started my podcast. And, you know, my first few shows got like 300 downloads and like, you know, 600 downloads. And I was like, okay, you know, 600 people, you know. And like most people, like when I was learning how to do podcasting, you know, I was doing these little workshops and trainings and stuff. And they're like, I had 50 people listen. And they're like, oh, that's so great. And I'm like, I had 1,000 people listen. And everybody's like, and I was kind of like, oh, wow, this is really exciting. You know, like 1,000 people. Like when the teachers would be like, think about it, you know, like 1,000 people, if you could fill a concert hall with that, you know,
right.
I'm like, all right, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then news broke that you quit Russia Today Live on air.
Yeah.
And obviously I couldn't get you right away, but it was like a week later you came on the show. And what happened was that I had done a lot of advertising for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I basically would just like put it as much information out to everybody that as I could, just saying, hey, everybody, I got this new show. Then I got this awesome, you know, semi-exclusive report with you about your quitting on air. And so it was kind of like the perfect storm because everybody who saw the advertising was like, let me check this podcast out. Then I got this awesome report with you about, you know, from this hot breaking news. And so what happened was that a ton of people subscribed. And so at that point, people started listening to the show. 18,000 people a day started listening to the show.
Wow.
And it was like, oh, 18,000 people a day. That's Madison Square Garden, you know, like listening to my little podcast. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And so then after that, you know, I've been pushing and pushing. Now the show gets about 30,000 on average, or like on the lowest end. And some of our shows, like I had a show a couple weeks ago that got 400,000.
Amazing.
I mean, that's huge, huge, huge numbers. So, and so I actually have you to thank for being the person that, gave people a good excuse to subscribe because
that's great.
Now we've got, you know, we've got an army, a Freedom Report army out there.
Yeah. You know, I think that there's definitely, I mean, you know, younger ish. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people definitely, this is something that they kind of, the young people, they're kind of disillusioned. They don't really fall into the Republican, liberal, or conservative liberal demographic. And I see a lot of people really are libertarian leaning, you know, absolutely socially liberal.
Right.
You know, that's how I would describe myself. But when it comes to foreign policy and fiscal matters, are more on the conservative end. And I think that a lot of young people, at least, you know, in my circles, people that I talk to, are below, you know, are in this category. And I think with the elections coming up, I think that, you know, the Austin Petersons of the world are going to be a force to be reckoned with.
I hope so. All right. Well, that's a great way to end the show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, do me a favor, go over to iTunes and leave me a good 5-star review and write out what you think of the show. And if you don't have an iTunes app or if you don't have an Apple product, you can go to Stitcher, download the application Stitcher on your Android phone, so that way you can subscribe and get the Freedom Report. Don't forget to come back every single day.
Do it. I'm going to do it right away.
Don't forget to come back every single day. Your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com.